Well, I appreciate that, Alvin. Well, as you can see, we're going green in 2025. Not really. Relax. But we're going to turn our Bibles to Psalm 65. And if you would just be ready, we'll turn to a few different places in Scripture this morning. But we're going to read an interesting psalm. We've read an interesting psalm this morning. And really, it's a psalm that was sung at the end of the year. It was a psalm that was sung at probably some of the end-of-year feasts that happened in the nation of Israel, particularly the Feast of Ingathering. And that was a feast that really commemorated the fact that God had provided for them through the course of the year. They would bring in their tithes of the harvest that they had brought in. They had then had the opportunity to then look back at the year that they've had. And in this psalm, it's divided really into three divisions. We're firstly, in the first couple of verses 1-4, transported to the magnificent courts of the Lord's house. And it's there that the psalmist reminds us again of the fact that we have the blessing of having God with us. Then he transports us to the shores of the sea. And he talks there about the power of the sea. And you know, as Paul did this week, I myself and the boys also went with Brother Dave on his boat, and I heard so much about it. I thought, you know, I better see this famous boat of his. And so the boys and I went, and the day before Paul was with him, he was sending all these photos of the fish they had caught. And so I'm showing the boys, and if you know my family and I, we're not really that outdoorsy, and so I've never really taken the boys out fishing. Now, I didn't really tell Dave that because, you know, I didn't want Dave to think something of me. So I just said, yeah, sure, we're going to go and we're going to have a great time. And the boys were really keen. But when we got there that morning, we began to drive and the day just didn't seem to get any lighter. It just stayed a little dark. And you know what that meant? Rain was coming. And we went out there on his boat and as the further we went into the open waters, the choppier it got, the windier it got, and we got pelted with rain. And you know what? I did not prepare. I didn't bring a raincoat for me, nor the boys. I didn't bring a change of clothes, and I bought one towel. That was it. That was my preparation. And that's when Dave knew I was definitely a rookie when it comes to that. And so we went out there, and you imagine the power of the ocean. You don't realize that the just how much power and how those storms that can come and stir up the waters can affect even the speed at which you go to your destination. And God was giving that imagery of the ocean and the great power of it, and how he can be the only one that can still the noise of the ocean, and our minds can probably go forward in Scripture when Jesus himself would be caught in the middle of a storm, how his disciples came to him who was asleep at the bottom of the boat in panic, and they would come up and he would just simply command the storm, "Peace, be still." And the great power that we see in our God. And so we see his presence, we see his power, but then we see lastly, in the last bit of our scriptures here that we read, really God's provisions, and our mind is cast to the great pasture lands, the great fields of Israel and all of its plenty and its bounty. And God has something to say about that as well. And we understand as we read through the scriptures there that God is the one that waterest. Notice that in verse 8, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided. Thou waterest the ridges." And there was an understanding of the importance of rain when it came to their society. You understand that Israel in that time was an agrarian society. They grew their crops. They raised their livestock in order for them to provide for their families and even provide for the sacrifices that were needed through the course of their year. And they were very dependent on rain. You know, I think we can relate a little bit to that as Aussies. You understand that Australia is the driest continent in the world. We understand that we're prone to sometimes even years and years of drought. You know, the first major one in recorded history for us was in 1895 to 1903. They called it the millennial, the Federation drought. And in that time, Australia was still forming an identity as a nation, and they called it the Federation drought because it coincided with Federation when they were organizing the country to be its own nation and not to be reliant on the government in the UK. And we understand then that major losses of livestock and major losses of crop happened as a result. It ended up that it reformed a little bit of how we see even the land. And many of the parcels of land back in the time were squatter land. They were being claimed by squatters. And because of this, they were able to just subdivide some of those larger farms to become some of the suburbs that we even live in today. And I'm saying that the lack of rain, drought, can affect in so many ways. It can affect lives, it can affect the livelihood, it can affect families, it can even affect governance. And we know that even in recent history, some of the droughts that we've had to endure and some of the closures that heartbreakingly have had to happen in a country that, like ours, that is very, very much has a history of farming and a history of agriculture. And you understand the great effect then that rain has. You see, in Scripture, we understand that rain represents different things. It represents perhaps both sides of God's providence. Firstly, we know the great flood that first happened when rain first came upon this earth. We understand that rain firstly represents God's judgment. We understand that often when he wanted to judge a people, he would send great rain that would inevitably then create a great flood. And we know that even from the beginning, in Noah's time, God sent a great flood to flood the earth, to cleanse it and to renew it. And that's really the other side of what rain represents. Rain also represents God's blessing, God's renewal, God's goodness. And that's inherent in the text that we just read this morning. You know, when we were out there on the boat, it didn't feel like rain was much of a blessing. But you begin to just contextualize that in some of the needy areas and you just pray that rain would go where it needs. You look and we remember some of the recent droughts, and I remember seeing videos of farmers and Christian farmers particularly who had prayed and prayed for rain. When it finally came, the great tears that came from their own eyes, and even though they were in the rain, you could see the physical nature of the relief that rain had come. And you know, we understand the great reliance that we have for rain, the great reliance that the people of God in that time had for rain. And again, God would have us to learn some things here this morning. Because just as reliant as we are on the physical rain, so much more should we be reliant on the rains of God's blessing upon our lives. You understand that rain and water, in its representation of blessing and goodness, all of that we understand from a chemical and scientific point of view, that physical rain can't be recreated. You know, we still live in a day with all of our sciences, we still can't create water. We can create little bits of it in a lab, but knowing the formula for water, what is it? H2O, right? We know it, but we still can't reproduce it. And you understand that as we go about in our lives, whilst the psalm was written looking back, we've got to, by faith, look forward to the rains of God's blessing. We've got to look forward. And perhaps you're hopeful this first Sunday of the year, and I hope you are hopeful. I hope that the new year has brought a new hopefulness and a new energy to the things that God perhaps would have for you. And we understand that every year we can go into it with some great plans and great hopes, and it doesn't always turn out that way. But I hope that you've lived enough years to look back and understand that actually God's reign of blessing can come to anyone, can come at times when we most and least, or at times where we least even expect it. And yet, too often, when we go through the year and we plan the year out, we're looking for the blessings of God, but we forget where those blessings come from. We can forget that as much as we love the blessings of God, and we love when God works things out, and we love when the rains and the showers of blessing come upon our lives and we rejoice in it, sometimes we can get too carried away, and all we're doing is chasing the rain and not following after the rainmaker. We're looking for blessing. We're looking, and we think that somehow we're owed that. And yet, what we've learned in history and what we've learned in the physical nature of rain is that sometimes God, in His purpose and His plan, can withhold it as well. Because He wants to remind us that it's actually not the rain, it's actually the one who made the rain. And it's actually Him. And what we learn from this passage, firstly, as we get into it, is that you can't make blessings appear. They just come from God. You know, blessings come from God. And he says there in verse 9, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God." Notice where the rain comes from. Notice where the water comes from. "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it." And you know, as much as we can explain it scientifically now, we know the one who created the ability for this world to be watered was the one that created everything. It was God. And notice, again, the language here, the water or the showers of blessing can only come from God. And again, there's been many attempts in many laboratories around the world, many attempts to create water. You understand it's not practical to make large volumes of water by mixing hydrogen and oxygen together. The reason is this: it's expensive, right? And it releases too much energy sometimes in uncontrollable ways. It creates massive explosions. It's dangerous. Why? Because God's trying to demonstrate to us there are certain things that you can only get from me. You know, we can hope for, we can pray for, and we can go about, and we can, even in our modern world, we can create dams and store it. We can even at times purify it. And you know, that whole idea when the drought happens of desalination and all of that. But you understand, you can't produce more water without God. And in our lives, all the blessing didn't have another source. They all came from God Almighty. "Thou waterest," He says. And to the point that water can become so rare, we're so concerned in our age that, you know, is concerned about this, the health of this earth and so forth. And sometimes even in history, we understand that battles were won and lost based on water supply. There's been occasions where nations and civilizations have fought for bodies of water. Why? Because they understand the actual rarity of this commodity. They understand that water can't be recreated, that you can't just go into a lab and just create your own water. And I'm saying to you this morning that blessing is the same way. You can't create your own blessing. They've got to be stewarded, not taken for granted and preserved, because they only come from one source. I want to remind you this morning, it only comes from God. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:7, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bring it forth, herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. And notice there that really comes down to this, thou visitest the earth. You see, his blessings come through his visitation. And you need need God's presence in your life to really garner the blessings of God. You know, we live in a world where in our time where God will show mercy to whom he'll show mercy. And we live in a world, and particularly society, I think, that you see the blessings of God. You see the enrichment. You see that we have freedoms. You see that we have the ability to provide and provide for many and to provide for others. And all of that is the blessing of God. And sometimes the rain will fall on whom it'll fall on. But you understand all of that is from God. And the problem with our society is that it's forgotten. It's forgotten where the blessings that it has gleaned for these centuries now, since its inception, since its making, since its beginning, where that blessing came from. And we need to remind a nation that's forgotten where the rain is from. That the showers of blessing that they so richly enjoy today has always only come from one, from God himself. You notice that his blessings, firstly here, they're enriching. The Bible says here in verse 9, thou greatly enrichest it. That this word enrich means to enhance. It means that with the rains it becomes greater. And, you know, we've all had sometimes where we're in a rush and we've had to not cook a home-cooked meal. We've had to get something instant, right? And, you know, you get a cup of soup and what do? Just add water. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we're going about and we're trying to enrich ourselves through other means. Maybe we're trying to enrich ourselves through achievement, or we're trying to enrich ourselves and we think the blessing comes from being around a certain group of people. And sometimes we're looking at relationships and all of that, not necessarily a bad thing. But you listen to me this morning. The only way you're going to get fullness of all that God has for you is by his means. He's going to add the water. He's going to have to rain upon your life, and he's going to have to have that you're going to have to give him the place and the means of which he can come to you to enrich you. Just add water. But you know, his blessings are ample. Notice it says he comes from the river of God, which is full of water. You know, that idea that he has a reservoir of blessing, of rain, of water to come upon your life, and his blessings, I want to tell you, knows no limits. The only limit is a part is where he chooses to disperse it. But then we see, thirdly, that his blessings are providential. He says, thou preparest them corn when thou hast provided for it. And they provide on top of what he's already prepared. And there's certain things that God has prepared in your life that is yours. There's certain crops in your heart that God has already seeded. There's certain things that God wants to continue to then just enhance and enrich. But it's got to be what you have. He says he prepared those, even the corn, even the crops, and his blessings are providential. In Leviticus 26:4, he says to them, then I will give you rain in due season, but the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And it's amazing that we understand that crops and agriculture needs water. And God designed it that way. God providentially gave us in our physical world the ability to see fruit, but we also know this: he's gonna use what he already has designed, and then he's gonna increase it. And there's certain things in your life that God has given you, provided and prepared in your life, that you're gonna need to pray for and seek for the rainmaker in your life. You're gonna need to seek for God to just bless, because blessing doesn't come from any other place. Blessing only comes from God. Notice the next thing. Look at verse 10. He says here, he says, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springtime thereof. Here's the picture here is of the great fields. And some of you may or may not know this about me. I actually for the first 7 years of my life, I grew up on a farm. And we lived in an area of the Philippines that was very agricultural. My mum's side of the family particularly, they had acreage and farms for generations. And so we bought a parcel of land on that property that my parents built a house there, and we lived. I could look out the window and it would be just fields right through to the horizon. And sometimes I would go with my grandpa at the time to go, and my uncles to the fields. And what they would do, they would take a water buffalo, and they would put a plow on the back, and we would plow the fields. And God's showing that picture here of the ridges and the furrows. What the ridges and the furrows are is the lines on the field that they're tilling. The lines in the field that they're plowing, and those straight lines would create ridges, the high bits, and the furrows, the low bits. And all of that would organize, all of that would be planted so that the waters would come when the rain comes and would bless that field. But listen, the crops would only come and they could only be have the ability to be harvested if my family took the responsibility of preparing that field first. And here's what I'm saying. We know that God, in his graciousness, and God in his ability to will bless, God in his wisdom in due season will give the rain when it needs to come. But we've got to prepare the ground first. And here's the thing, waiting for God's blessing, it comes with being busy fulfilling our responsibility though. We've got to be responsible. We have a duty to fulfill in this whole scenario. If we're going to see God's blessing fully come to be, we've got to prepare the grounds of our lives. We can't just wait around and as if God will just bless here and there. And God in his grace, he does in his mercy. But I'm saying you've got to give God something to bless. You've got to do your part for the reins of God's blessing to come and do its work. In fact, he tells us that. Look at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, please turn there. You know, I appreciate the turning of the pages of Scripture. And so please turn there with me. Although increasingly I'm noticing that there's more and more with devices, and you know, it's no longer the sweet sound of the turning of the pages of Scripture, it's the glow of the pages of Scripture. But anyway, Isaiah 28, I still prefer the physical pages of the Word of God. And so Isaiah 28, look at verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cummin, and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. He's saying that just as God gives us those instructions, we're supposed to prepare according to his instruction. He says, you know, the plowman will plow not to sow immediately. He's saying that those things that he prepares, those things that he casts into the ground, they're not going to sprout up, but I instruct you to do that. Why? Because the expectation is God will do his bit. But then counter to that, God's expectation is that you will do your bit. That you're supposed to do your part. That you're supposed to prepare the ground. That you're supposed to look at the field of your life. And you're supposed to plow the grounds of your life, and you're supposed to prepare that, and you're supposed to cast the seed. And the Bible tells us the seed is the word of God. That you're supposed to look at that, and we know the great parable of Scripture, the parable of the seed and the sower. But you understand, within that context, there was a preparation of the ground. There was a need to prepare the ground for it to be able to then be good ground. to make sure that the shallow ground, to make sure that the rocky ground, to make sure that the thorny ground isn't what the rain comes to. That the rain will come with good ground, with good soil, with good seed. And out of that will sprout good things in our lives. And too many times we wonder why, you know, we go about our lives and it just seems to sprout out and nothing endures and nothing comes of it. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you prepared the ground? Have you done your part? Because as surely as we know rain comes, surely God wants to bless. But you've got to give him something. You know, we see that man's work really is dependent on his blessing to be fruitful. We know, and we can turn there. Let's actually turn there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says here. And again, the context is the church. And he's saying there that there's some who are carnal, some who are following after personalities in the church. And sometimes we look at that as a means of increase. And yet God's saying to them in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Notice that there's a partnership. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry or farming. You are God's building. And he's saying that there's that partnership. There's that responsibility of one that plants and one that waters. And you're one in that. And then God in his design, God in his designation of just how that's meant to be, there's going to be increase there. And our work is dependent on his blessing to be fruitful. And you know, we could prep. We could do all our bit. You could have all of the soil of your life turned over. But listen, it's still not going to bear fruit unless God is in it. But listen. You don't want to be the guy that when the rains come, you've not tilled your ground. You don't want to go and look at this year and just let it be. And God is blessing and God really wants to rain on your life. And we've not tilled the ground. You know, the whole idea of the soil really is relating to our heart. You remember how Adam was formed. Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. You know what that is? It's soil. And so really, right from the beginning, God pictured soil to be the grounds of our heart. It's the very grounds of our lives. And listen, there's many times where we're preparing in other ways. Maybe we're preparing physically. We're preparing those things that are external. But what God is interested in on this very first Sunday of the year is that you would break up the fallow ground of your heart. That there's some things that perhaps that have grown in there that needs, and it's been a while since you've allowed that your heart to be plowed up, to be reshaped and prepared. And that whole soil parable has to do with the preparation of the ground of your heart. See, the Bible tells us in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. And then he says this, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness to you. Listen, break up the fallow ground. You know what the fallow ground is? It's the ground that's become unproductive. It's the ground that's hardened. It's the ground that perhaps previously had been fertile with all the richness that of the earth and all of the richness of crops, and yet over time it's become a little hard. It's become a little insufficient. It's become a little just hardened to the realities of its own condition. And maybe it's been a while since you've had your heart turned over. Maybe it's been a while since you've asked God to search your heart. Maybe it's been a while since you've asked the Holy Spirit of God to reveal some things that have hardened in your own heart. And you're just living life and you're just going about and you're just sitting there and you're just reading the Bible just in such a dutiful way but without any effect. And you wonder, what's happening? Is something wrong with the seed? No. Is something wrong with God's blessing? No. You know the determining factor? Actually, is if you've broken your fallow ground. How's your heart this morning? What are some things there that have caused it to harden? What are some things there that looking ahead and looking back, you know where you're at, the condition of your heart, and you just need to get the Holy Spirit of God and maybe the hammer of the Word of God and start to hammer away at the hardness of your heart and hammer away at the coldness of your fellowship and hammer away at maybe some pride that's come in there and some sin that you've not dealt with and you've just secretly had some idols and you've just secretly just gone about and you're just you're so hard that you need a breaking. You need the plowman of the Spirit of God to come and just plow and prepare the ground for some blessing. You see, God wants to bless, but I wonder if we prepared the grounds of our heart. See, man's work is dependent on his blessing to be fruitful, but man's work, it's got to be ready for when blessing will come. You know, sometimes here's what we do. We chase the blessing for the blessing's sake. But you know what the Bible tells us? He drops his goodness. You know what he does? He bestows it. He gives it. You know, sometimes we'll have a mindset, and I certainly have been praying about this year. Lord, help me to lead others to Christ. And here's what we'll do. We'll do all the work of that. And we'll pray and we'll seek. But you know what happens? Sometimes we're doing something right and we're doing something that is part of the breaking up the fallow ground, and nothing seems to happen. And here's what we're doing. Sometimes we go through that and we give up. Sometimes, you know, and I was examining my own heart, you know, the second half of this past year, I feel like I was just going through the motions of things. I feel like there were some times where I was just, you know, I knew I had to study for a sermon, and so I did. I was doing the right thing. And, you know, there were times where I just was like, is there any effect? What's the point? And I wanted to throw in the towel. Anyone with me? Not about the sermon preparation part, just your part, right? Right? And sometimes we're just doing the right thing. I want to tell you, keep doing the right thing. Because that's what you need to do. And you keep doing the right thing. At some point, God, in due season, He'll drop his goodness. He'll drop his blessing. He'll just drop in due season. You know, doing right from the beginning, from the heart. You know, there's some who have tried to get involved with rainmaking, and you know, there's this term that we know, cloud seeding. And in the Second World War, the American government tried to create rain in certain parts where the battle was hot. And so they started this thing of cloud seeding. They would put certain elements in the clouds, hoping that it'll make the clouds rain. You know what they found? It made no difference. You know, some believe in it and prescribe to it. And they think that somehow we can manipulate God's earth to do what it needs. But it won't. God won't be manipulated. God will bless and God will reign when he chooses. So here's our responsibility. Keep doing right until he does. You know, some have even, you know, there's different societies all around the world and we laugh about it, the rainmaking. You know, like, and they get all excited. They think that they'll manipulate their God to, we need rain now. And listen, we don't get to tell the one who gives us the blessing when to bless. He says he'll reign in due season. He'll drop his goodness. You know, sometimes we get so enamored with chasing the blessings, we end up making an idol of it. And we end up, we forget about the one who causes the rains to come. And there's nothing wrong with seeking God and asking Him to bless us. But you know, the emphasis here is this: just be ready when He does. Be ready when He's going to give you the blessing. It's, you know, the summer is all about two things in our household. Oh, the first is family. Summer is about family. But here's the second thing in our household. It's about cricket, all right? So been watching the cricket. Some of you are like, really? Cricket? Yes, cricket. I love it. But so we've been watching cricket. And, you know, if you know the story, there's been a young man. And like him or lump him, I like him, all right? So Sam Constance has been taken on the Indian fast bowlers, and I've been loving it. But, you know, you see some of these young athletes come into a prestigious position like that, being called up to the Australian cricket team. But listen, no one who's achieved anything in that arena ever really only chased that thing. You know what they did? They learnt their craft. They came into it. I was reading an article about this young fella, and what he's a Sydney boy, and he would go to the Hurstville nets, and the groundskeeper said he was there every day. You know why? Because he hoped that one day he would get the call up, and when he did get the call up, he would be ready. And you know, there's some here that maybe your hope is that God would use you in some capacity this year. I want to ask you, what are you doing to get ready? Or are you just waiting until you get the call up and hope that you'll have the skills and the ability to do it? No, that's not going to happen. Listen, some of you are about to enter into a new season of your life. You're getting married. You know, it's all about the preparation. It's all about getting things right and ready right now so that when the time comes, you're ready for that moment. You don't drop the ball. You don't miss the catch. You don't miss the ball going for the slog. You don't. Why? Because God's emphasis to us is, I'm going to take care of the blessing if you take care of the preparation. If you just take care of that part of just turning over the grounds of your heart, making sure that the seed of the Word of God is planted in good soil. Make sure that the things of me are things that you're taking care of. You're loving me. You're loving others. You're in the Word. You're praying. All of that is breaking up your fallow ground. And listen, when God then chooses in due season to go, here's some rain, then you know what? Your heart and your life is ready to receive it. And too many times, God wants to bless, but we've not prepared the grounds of our heart. Too many times that sermon on the Sunday was actually for you. But you didn't come that Sunday with the grounds of your heart prepared. It's come with a stony heart. It's come with shallow heart. It's come with the thorns of this world that choke. And you come, and maybe God wanted to bless you that morning with the message of the Word of God, and maybe you didn't come. You didn't come with a heart prepared. And maybe through course of week, God's just trying to have you turn your heart over, and you've not come with that willingness to receive it like you ought. And I will tell you that you have to take care of your part. See, there was the ridges, there were the furrows, and there was the springing. The springing was the fruit. The springing was the crops that come out. The springing is the growing. And the springing is when those things come to be. And you know, you never really know. There's the seasons that we have in our year, but you never really know when things can pop up. You know, sometimes you've just got to be ready to harvest. And you've just got to be ready when God drops the fatness, and God's blessings aren't made, they're bestowed. The blessings come when we wait on the blesser to bless in His time. And we've got to take care, though, of the preparation. But, you know, what you do with the blessing will be how your year will be defined. And, you know, we've got a blank page right now. So we've actually got an opportunity to prepare the grounds of our heart today. In verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. In verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. And I want you to note there that how God blesses you and what you do with it will be how your year will define. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. You know, they look back and they had done all their preparation. And God in his faithfulness did come. He did visit with water. He did rain. And what happened was there was springing. And they said, you crown the year. You know, crowning has a sense of achievement. Crowning has a sense of significance. And we should look for his goodness as evidence of a good year. You know, you might look at the last year and you might look at the things that has transpired. And you might even come to the end of this year and you might wonder, how do you evaluate it? Here's how you evaluate it. Did God drop some goodness upon your life? Because that's how he crowns the year. He says, thou crownest the year with your goodness. Your paths drop fatness. And what we learn from this is that is this goodness, God's goodness comes to those who wait. You see, God's goodness comes to those who just faithfully wait. They just faithfully do their part. They just faithfully be who they're supposed to be in Christ. And goodness comes to those who wait. Thy paths drop fatness. You know, the Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know, this whole idea of his paths, it's a picture of a victor. It's a picture of someone who's the champion doing his victory lap. And what he does, the champion is crowned and he goes around and he goes for one that he believes worthy. And there was an idea of he shares his victory with those who are watching. He takes that path, and as a victor he goes, and he goes to bless as others are blessing him. And people would cheer him on. Some would throw treasures at him, and at times he would grab that treasure, and if someone takes his interest in the crowd, he'll go and just throw some back to that person. And he's saying here that we have one who was the ultimate victor. He's able to crown. And we have one, can I remind you, whose victory is our victory. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the fact that he has reigned victorious over sin and death, listen, he can drop goodness upon your life. Listen, he can go around and as he goes on this victory lap of this year once again. And by the way, can I remind you, God is never defeated. He's always the victor. That every year is a victory lap for him again. And I want to tell you that God, if we would just be around his path and be around who he is, and you've got to be around where he can see you and you could draw his attention. Listen, you've got to come to a place of learning to be in the way and be waiting in the way, and you'll find that he'll drop some goodness upon your life. And goodness even comes to those who are in hardship. Notice what the Bible says here. Not only does he crown the year with his goodness and his paths drop fatness, notice in verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. You know, the whole idea of wilderness is testing. The whole idea of wilderness is it's meant to be a harsh place. And maybe you find yourself in a harsh place. Maybe you find yourself, the things of last year, the difficulties of last year are still present with you. I want to tell you, God has not forgotten about you. In fact, he drops his goodness even in the pastures of the wilderness. Here's what I encourage you. If you find yourself in a place of hardship, keep plowing the ground of your heart. You know, what amazes me is some of the most untamed places around the world are some of the most green and luscious. I know that our wilderness is a little different here in Australia. There's major parts of our nation that is desert. But you understand that there's also major parts of our land that's just, it's just hardship. It's just desert. It's just wilderness. But you see the lusciousness of it. Yeah, I've been to Argentina, and the amazing thing about Argentina is actually how green it is. It's beautifully green. It's untamed, the major parts of it. But you know why? It rains there all the time. And here's what I learned. Sometimes you'll get the most rain in the hardest places. Sometimes you find yourself in a hardship. You're in a bit of a trying time. That's a wilderness. And actually, that's when God blesses the most. You know what I found in my life when I'm going through a hardship? Is actually God's rains come upon me. It's amazing how God just comforts that way. And some of the harshest territories all around the world is often some of the most luscious and green. Why? Because of God's rain. And I want to tell you, that's how you can define your year. It's how much you've done with God's rain. And what you do with God's goodness will determine what kind of year you'll have. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 2:4, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You know what that means? Whenever we experience the rain of God, God's showers of blessing, it's meant to turn us to him. The whole idea of repentance is to turn. It's a change of direction. It's a turn. Hey, listen, sometimes God's just trying to get to you with his goodness because he's trying to remind you of who he is. And you're meant to turn back to him. Maybe it's a time now that you would turn back to God. In James 5:7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold," and he uses this as an example, "the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." And maybe your harsh reality, maybe where you're at, maybe you've had some early rain, and maybe in this season of your life, you're parched. You're seeking, and he's saying, have some patience because there will be latter rain. There will be a blessing again, and I want to tell you that God has ample blessing. You see, at the end of it, in verse 13, it says the pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with corn. He's saying your rain worked. You know, we prepared, we had pastures in the wilderness, we had pastures in our fields and the corn and the livestock. And you know, here's the end of it. They shout for joy. They also sing. In verse 12, the little hills rejoice on every side. And here's what we learned lastly. You see, the fruit of God's blessing is a cause for praise. Hey, listen, can this be a year where, yes, we're courageous, but yes, we're a people full of praise? Hey, listen, here's what I get about myself sometimes. I'm so quick to complain. I'm a whinger. I start to whinge about this and that, and you know, oh, it's too cold, or it's too hot, or it's too muggy, and you start to just complain. You know what? If we really look, if we really see, we can see God, sometimes he won't fully rain, but he'll rain a little bit. He'll just rain here and there. And he'll just bless here and there. And we can sometimes miss the blessings that are already there. And he's saying, you know, at the end of it, I can look back at the year. And man, the goodness of God. And even little victories are worth shouting about. The Bible says here, the little hills rejoice on every side. I take that, little victories are worth shouting about. Little blessings are worth shouting about. Hey, little ones, learn to praise too. And listen, there might be some things daily that God just showers you with that you just have taken for granted. And you just need to just rejoice in that. Even little victories are worth shouting about. But provision is the ultimate blessing. He says that the pastures are clothed with flocks. You could see it in the mountainside was full of sheep. It was like New Zealand. It was full of sheep, right? It was just covered. The Bible says clothed. You know, he uses human qualities to describe the surrounds. It says the pastures are clothed. The valleys are also covered over with corn. The valleys, the times of testing. He says you can look at all of that and you can see all of the evidence that I've reigned over you and the shower of blessings have come. And sometimes we can just do ourselves a favor and just look at the provision of God. He's saying you'll have your supply of blessing. He's saying just look at the pastures, look at the field. Look at the grounds of your life. In Deuteronomy 11:11, he says, but the land, whither you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. And boy, I want to tell you that when you really sit to just be still and examine all that God has done for you, you're going to realize that actually he's just enriched your life with the waters of heaven. Hey, listen, maybe today will just be a day of just recognizing again. You know, we had the advantage of getting this beautiful psalm from people looking back on the year. But we have the advantage of being people at the beginning of the year who can look forward to the blessings of God. And I want to encourage you, yes, chase the rain, but pursue the rainmaker. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, we're thankful for this brand new year. We're thankful for all of the great promises that we have in you. But Lord, as we reflect on what's been, I want to just recognize that you have been good to us. That you have been a God of blessing. That you have been a God who, Lord, in due season, you've rained upon us, dear God. And Father, Lord, may we be a people who would take the responsibility for the field of this year ahead and start, Lord, in the grounds of our heart to plow it and to prepare it. And Lord, to be ready for when your blessings come. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, would we just come with great humility this morning to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, you're the only one that blessings come from. Lord, you're the only one that can sustain me through this year. Lord, here's the ground of my heart. I want to prepare it, dear Lord. I want you to break up, Lord, some fallow ground. And maybe there's some here who's got some fallow ground to break up. And maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've grown a little distant. Maybe you've grown a little hard in your heart. Would you come this morning and we just allow God to break up the fallow ground? Maybe today you would just recognize again that God is the blesser. That you need him. That you need the rains to come, to pour it upon you, to water the preparations of your life. Maybe you've got great plans for God. Maybe there's some things God has put in your heart. And you just say, Lord, I can't do it without your blessing. Would you come? Would you come and bless my life? Maybe there's some here, they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that the greatest decision you can make is to trust him to be your Savior. And when we talk about God, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And all of us here have a need for a Savior. And maybe you're here and you've never put your trust in the Lord. Please don't leave this place without knowing for sure. But as the piano plays, can I invite you to come forward? Can I invite you to start this year with a brokenness and a humility? Can I invite you to come say to the Lord, Lord, bless me this year, but Lord, help me to bless you. Help me to seek you. Help me to pursue you. Lord, help my heart to be prepared for what you would have for us. And could I ask you to come and just take some time to pray? Let's start the year with some prayer.